Welcome to the Unengage Agent, social media and news for real estate agents.
Yeah, and our first topic is the big news that Redfin is leaving NAR, you know, the National Association of Realtors. Right. So that's quite interesting. They have obviously a good number of realtors, about 2,400, and those agents will now be not part of NAR, not be considered, I guess, realtors.
Which uphold the standards with code of ethics. And so that would be interesting. So those agents would not have to abide by, I guess, not, right?
If you're not. I guess it won't be part of the code of ethics. Maybe Redfin will have their own kind of code of ethics sort of deal. I don't know. NAR is dealing with the lawsuits regarding the broker commissions and just kind of, the growing outcry, but, you know, they are still like the biggest lobbying group in Washington. So it's kind of interesting to see what's going to happen in the next couple of steps. Will other kind of companies or big brokerages leave NAR, you know, with KW or REMAX?
You know, they didn't join forces or anything like that?
I don't know. It depends if they feel they're getting the value from NAR or not. I know NAR is not perfect. I know they've done some things, some positions they've taken on issues that I don't agree with. But I do think that they are doing a lot to kind of support the industry and helping realtors, you know, survive out there. So it's kind of interesting kind of way to see. I mean, the important thing to kind of realize is that the industry is always changing, right? It's not going to be the same. It was not the same 5 years ago before social media. It's not the same as 10 years ago or 20 years ago before the internet. It's
even last week, you know, it goes so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just one of those evolving things, and you have to kind of stay nimble, focus on the smaller issues. Focus on helping individual clients, helping, you know, your buyers find the right home, find sellers, sell their home, and right. the bigger your stuff kind of sorts itself out, you know. And if things change, then
you gotta roll with it.
Change and you roll with it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I think our other topic was Canva Magic, the new updates with Canva.
Yeah, they introduced like Magic Studio. They've been doing some AI stuff recently, and this is kind of their latest like iteration of that. They have things called like Magic Design or Magic Presentations, where you can tell it like, "Hey, make me a presentation on the five best reasons to move to Tampa Bay," and it will. It'll auto-generate all the content for you. And
even with that content, you can still customize it, you know, reword it. And then that goes to with Magic Write, where you can highlight that group of text and have it rewrite it for you in whatever tone you would want it to sound in, whether it's more professional, more layman's terms, or like a fairy tale princess story, you know. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and even like you can have a brand voice. So even though you have your brand colors, different ones that you kind of save in Canva,
right,
you can have your own branded voice. So that way, any content it generates, it'll be in that kind of voice. If it's more,
which is perfect, conversational, for Instagram, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or if it's more, if your business is more, detail oriented, you want specific, or words or lingo, and kind of have it. Kind of have it there, which is quite cool.
If you're not using Canva, I mean, we do have it. I think it's in our creator tools, right? I'm not sure.
I'm sure we have a link on our website to kind of check it out.
I'm just amazed at what it can do on, and it just keeps going, you know? So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's become definitely a indispensable part of our workflow. Tool that we use for creating any sort of marketing that we need.
Static posts, even, you know, for
social media posts. They do some video flyers. They do have some video capabilities. It's not as full fleshed as a full like dedicated video editor, but if you need to throw something in quickly, you could do it.
Yeah, and even like, you know, making reels and TikToks, they have the templates right there.
Yeah.
You build everything, add the music, and upload directly from Canva to the... I don't utilize that much because I tend to build within the app, but I'd like to do more with that, with Canva at least, because I feel like it's got so many options.
I don't know if you've seen the Magic Expand feature. Do you know what that is?
No. Uh-uh.
So you have a photo, and there's something, and you need it to be wider or whatnot, but there's nothing. The photo's already like, you know, so big. It'll use AI to kind of fill in the missing parts. It may not be accurate of what's there, but it'll at least give you something to kind of fill in the area. So I thought that was pretty cool. We've seen different, you know.
I mean, with AI, when it comes to like proof of anything, like anything can be generated, you know, so it's crazy.
The magic edit, you can, someone's holding it, you know, a handbag, you change that to, you know, headphones if you wanted to. It's, you know, capabilities are kind of endless, and it also, it's good as far as brainstorming, which is what we use it a lot for. We use it like, hey, give us some ideas on this and we'll kind of go through and refine it. Especially with ChatGPT, we'll use it as a great brainstorming kind of tool. And I'm sure
really
because AI is similar to that.
I don't know.
All right. Yeah. So, yes, quite cool with AI stuff they're adding in. And we'll have to try some of them out.
Yeah, we'll make some videos on that too.
Yeah.
You know. All right. So, where are we at now? The Verge on TikTok?
Okay. Yeah. So, the Verge had an article and a video talking about YouTube Studio's new AI feature. To help you generate topic ideas and like outlines for potential videos. So it'll kind of like go through what videos you're currently making, seeing what's working elsewhere, and kind of help you with that.
And how is that going to work? Is there going to be like a notification button or, you know?
So if you go to YouTube Studio and say, hey, I'm looking for ideas, and it'll say, okay, well, this video on this community did well. You should be making more videos like that, maybe in this kind of, you know, like that. Or it'll maybe, we'll look into it more, but maybe it'll say, hey, another agent in another area did this type of video. Maybe you should make something kind of similar. Obviously the downfalls of AI is who's driving the content. Is it the person now, or is it the algorithm driving what's being made?
I think the algorithm probably, right? Doing what it does.
But you could use it to your advantage. Definitely always try to put your own personal spin on it.
I mean, totally. If it's breaking it down for you and what you need to be doing or what you should be making, for, you know, it's got the data to prove that, right? So
yeah. And obviously, these type of videos, you definitely want to make sure you put yourself into it and make sure make it known that it's your voice and it's your...
It's not all automated. Yeah.
It's not all automated. Because at the end of the day, they're hiring you as a person and they need to have that connection.
Yeah, totally. Alrighty. I think the next was about the sellers in the United States and why people are selling their home, right? Through a Florida Realtor magazine had an article on this.
Yeah, Florida Realtors had the magazine. I think it's from a Redfin kind of study that this is 10% of listings are sellers being called back into the office. So as more workers are not being able to do work from home as before, they have to sell their home.
Especially a lot moved out of state too, right? You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we saw a big influx of people, moving to Florida, as they were able to work from home. If these businesses start changing their policy regarding that, they're going to have to sell. So, I mean, it's something to kind of think about. It's not something we've ever had to think about before, but the motivation of why someone's selling is definitely important.
And people always ask also, and everyone does have a different reason for, but that's really a high number. That's interesting. You know, well, I mean, it was kind of unknown too, right? Because everything happened so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these businesses promise like, hey, this is the future. This is what you can be doing. Go live anywhere. And then, they decided to make a change.
It's a shame, though. I mean, I wish it was more like an option, you know, versus...
Of course, Or if they say that you have to be there 2 out of 3 days, well, that doesn't help you because you're in a different state. So now you have to...
Right.
My hope is that more and more businesses see the value of work from home, seeing that this leads to kind of, you know, more happier employees because they're not sitting in hours, 2 hours worth of commute time.
Traffic.
You know, and it definitely leads to a lot better work-life balance if you're able to have that extra couple hours a day.
There were some other percentages, right?
Yeah. So they also listed a couple other ones. 19.3 said they plan to sell and relocate to live in a place that's better aligned with their views on social issues, which is obviously that's just idea. If you know, if you want to live somewhere that where your neighbors, you know, so
feel at home at home. You know,
That leads down some paths. 19% said lower taxes. 17.9% said concerned about safety and crime, and obviously the biggest one is the 33.8% said they need more space. We all need more space, right?
Yeah.
That's always. The number one factor why people need to move or want.
Yeah, usually growing
families.
Combined, combined
families. Multi-generational family. They need that extra room and space.
Yeah.
These are all really, understanding reasons why people need to move, and good for you to know that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right, and I think our last topic is YouTube Shorts. You can now add a link to a YouTube video, right? So it's just a link within YouTube. It's not outside, I don't believe.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so that's quite popular because now you can kind of do a long-form content, say this like podcast or even just a community feature, and then when you do make a short out of it, you can have it linked back to that original long video. Or if you want to link to
you can make the short within the YouTube, video itself. And I think it has a create short, but I don't know, I'm making that up. But I know there's a quick way to just do it from within the video itself,
Yeah, but even if you're doing it somewhere else, you can now go back and add those links afterward.
Yeah.
Which we'll probably do with this video. We'll probably make a couple of different shorts and then
Software that you used for the shorts? Was it
there was a couple of different AI like AutoCATs. Yeah. Opus Clip was the one we used. I saw a couple of other different ones. They'll take a long form video. And they'll cut it up in different shorts, and they'll score them. Say, hey, this is like a really good short, and then the ones that aren't so clear, they'll say, hey, this is not so good.
And then it gives you the description, right?
Descriptions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if Opus adds description or not. But it might. But yeah, so all these kind of tools to kind of multiply your content. This is probably the best way to kind of put it, right?
Yeah, totally.
I think that's it for this week, right?
That's it. Have a great one.
I'm Tony.
And I'm Patricia.